This is a free sample of one of the latest Tom Keene On Demand interviews. It is in its entirety. You can receive all my interviews, typically over 40 a week, plus weekly research reviews by subscribing to our premium podcast service. For example, premium subscribers heard interviews with George Borey of UBS and John Maudlin of Millennium Wave Advisors, to name a few. So if you like what you hear, consider subscribing for just pennies a day at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene.
Vincent Reinhart joins us for years, head of economic research, the Federal Reserve Bank system, with Alan Greenspan, and now with the American Enterprise Institute. So the Swiss don't do the kind of intervention that we call intervention. They pound the rate to zero, and they do some fancy repo kind of sight deposit stuff. But an intervention's an intervention, isn't it?
That's right. And that's the problem of being the reserve currency. When there's a sign of smoke, everybody rushes into your building. Reserve currency means there's a force for appreciation. Mm-hmm. The lower bound to nominal interest rates means you can't respond to it with traditional monetary policy.
The distinction in the statement to me is their clear statement of finally a slowing Swiss economy, slowing European economies. John Herman at State Street Global has a working number on third quarter GDP of 1.85%. If it's a growth recession, do we blame the ECB and do we blame Congress for this debt shenanigans of the last X number of days?
I think the debt ceiling was just a speed bump. It was a two-week distraction that had people look the other way. And what they should have been looking at is the U.S. real economy is not performing that well, particularly given the revisions to GDP. We realized the recession was longer, it was deeper, and that we're out of a slower growth trajectory. So we sort of woke up and said, is that where we are?
Just crossing the Bloomberg, we have earnings beats by Comcast by a penny, and Time Warner, 60 cents a share. Estimate was 56. So Comcast and Time Warner both beat. Vince, we seem to be hearing more from the double dippers now. Even Martin Feldstein told Tom yesterday on his television program, Bloomberg Midday Surveillance, that things are really slowing down and there could be another recession.
Can't rule that out at all. In fact, the probability of recession is, you know, on the order of 40 to 50%. The basic story is when you come out of a financial crisis, your economy grows somewhat slower. But that means you're flying the plane closer to the ground and more slowly. You're less resilient to adverse shocks, and we have had a lot of adverse shocks.
And the banks have to react. I mean, the central banks have been out of the news flow for the last week. But Australia, maybe they should have a higher rate, but they don't. India jumps up and surprises people. Philippe Hildebrand of the Swiss National Bank is hugely respected, I would suggest, within the space. And then there's the Japanese. Would you expect to see a unilateral intervention out of Japan as they just say enough to a strong yen?
I know Hildebrand. I've worked with Hildebrand, and I wouldn't want to be him right now. And,
yeah.
And that is the problem when you have a constrained monetary policy is you're sitting at the zero lower bound. The Bank of Japan is most likely to join the club because it generally joins clubs when it sees other advanced economies moving, when there's a threat to global expansion. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And again, it's a knock-on effects of public policy. How would you characterize European policy right now? It's been an ugly week for the peripherals today, a mixed picture. Portugal, a particularly ugly day, but Italy actually does a little better. Doesn't the policy have to get in order before the central bank police start reacting?
Well, I think the central bankers ultimately realize that they're the ones holding the bag. They're the ones with the flexible balance sheet. They're the ones who can act in size. The problem is if you wait for the appropriate fiscal authorities to get their house in order, you're going to be waiting a long time. One of the messages on monetary policy around crisis is you should act quickly, you should act as forcefully as you can, because the sooner you put in your stimulus, the better off you are.
There's been a lot of talk that what was done in Europe to fix the situation with Greece was, here's that phrase again, kick the can down the road. Is that basically what's happening in Washington right now?
Yeah. Fix is not anything I would apply to either Europe or the U.S. A major part of financial crisis is denial. You say your banks have good assets on their balance sheet. They don't really. In our case, it's mortgages. In their case, it's sovereign debt of the weaker countries. From a finance minister's standpoint, if you can have a press conference, that means the European experiment is ongoing, even if it causes a problem for the next one. You've succeeded.
So what you're saying is it's kind of like when a football team owner says, we're behind our coach 1,000%.
It's a bad
kiss
sign.
Kiss of death, right?
Yeah.
the word of the moment, and this, of course, Vincent Reinhart with his folks and an op-ed with Bloomberg View the other day with your wife Carmen Reinhart of the Peterson Institute. One of the words you're talking is repression, not depression, not regression. Repression. What does that word mean to economists?
So the sequence goes from depression to repression. Basically, when you come out of a financial crisis associated with a bad recession, the government's left with a lot of debt. It's hard to work down debt, in part because it's hard to fix the structural issues, hence the drama in Washington over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. What it does do is make a little bit of inflation attractive. But the problem with inflation is if investors have choice, if they can move freely from any asset class to another asset class, they'll get out of government securities if they think inflation's coming. So what you need is a little bit of financial repression too. That's a charged word. People don't like it applied to advanced economies. But the fact is they applied it to emerging market economies for four decades, and now turnabout's fair play.
Are we in austerity now? Harm Bondels had a terrific chart yesterday how little of the government's deficit fighting is applied to 12, 13, and 14. Is it a delayed austerity, or can we actually say we're in austerity now?
This is where economists are never a good guess because they're moving their hands up and down. It's about levels and growth rates. Fiscal policy is slowing down. It's actually moving into reverse. That means it will be a drag on growth. Not much of a drag coming out of the debt ceiling negotiations. Most of it was coming from the fact that the February 09 stimulus is phasing out by now. Also, the events in Washington make it less likely that the payroll tax cut will be extended next year. That means we'll get a fiscal pothole. So we're growing slower. We got some fundamental weaknesses associated with our bad assets, and we'll have fiscal constriction.
It's easy to second guess. In hindsight, 2020 and blah, blah, blah. But
not going back to William McChesney Martin.
No, we're not going quite that far
that was
back.
That's a banker joke.
Let's go back a couple of years, Vince. That whole big stimulus package and infrastructure, and was that the right thing to do? I mean, should there maybe have been just a payroll tax cut right away?
So the issue wasn't the size of the stimulus. It was the inefficiency of it.
Right.
That is, there are diminishing returns to anything you do. You make the stimulus bigger, you're going to find out that there are less good things to spend it on, that you'll raise investor concerns about the level of debt outstanding. So if you're going to use fiscal stimulus, you got to make sure it's efficient. And so my biggest complaint was it wasn't top-down directed. It was delegating to Capitol Hill writing stimulus. That meant you got a 700-page piece of legislation that was filled with bits and pieces. We should have been more efficient. We should have used the public purse more wisely.
This has been a free sample of Tom Keene on Demand. You can hear much more by subscribing to our premium podcast service. Get all of our Bloomberg Surveillance and Bloomberg on the Economy interviews, as well as bonus features that won't be available anywhere else. For more information, visit Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene. Copyright 2011.